Sorry about that. I put it out. I thought you were going to say sentences, but you didn't. That's how it goes. Sometimes you just flip the script a little bit.
Yeah, I like it.
Keep it spicy, y'all.
Talking about practice begins right now.
We talking about practice. Not a game. Not a game. Not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Needed that drop.
Yep, we need those Rasta horns, man.
Yes.
The reggae horn makes
it's been a minute since we've had them on, man.
Yeah, it has been, and it's nice to have it back. It's nice to be back talking about practice in the house. Your host, Jarrell Gilbert, alongside me as always, Derek Isumaki.
What's good, y'all?
So, it's July, middle of July.
The dog days of summer.
Dog days of summer, dog days of sports. Not a whole lot going on, but we're going to fill up an hour somehow, and I look forward to the challenge. Before we get started, speaking of challenges, we got into a...
We failed the challenge.
Yeah, we got into a fairly heated debate last week over something that we shouldn't have been debating. We were going back and forth, well, Derek and John in particular, and I was just kind of instigating, but the argument was over. Derek and I both agree that having the MLB All-Star Game determine home field advantage for the World Series is stupid. And apparently, during collective bargaining, everyone else thought so as well, because that's no longer a thing. So we spent 10 minutes last week arguing over that, and it did not matter.
I really wonder how many people out there were listening, were like, do these guys not realize that it's not determining it?
Yeah, you know what? Shame on you, listener. This is your fault.
Should have called. Informed us. That's what we do with this show. We're not the best. They, you know?
Yeah, and we don't have a producer today, so if you want to call, there's no one that's going to answer. So feel free to go ahead and write down all our mistakes and call after the show, okay?
Yes, yeah. Because, like, we need to. We want to acknowledge them. It was an error on our part. We should have researched it. But I completely missed the bug on that.
Started researching things, though, then we'd be like a real show, and I'm not trying to do that.
That is true, yeah.
I'm trying to throw out shenanigans all day and just have a good time and say things as if they're fact with no facts to back it up.
Well, clearly that happened. I mean, granted, yeah. I backed it up, and they all, like I said, they agreed with us.
Yeah. So
John.
Right. John, you were wrong.
You were wrong.
Yeah, and that's why you're not here. You're scared. You don't want to come face the music.
Especially with that little fuzz on the top of his lip, you know?
Yeah, that's a cute mustache.
Yeah.
No, hopefully, we haven't heard from John, so hopefully he's okay.
Yeah.
And hopefully he decides he wants to still do the show and comes in today. But if not, you get me and Derek for the next
hey, man, this is how it used to be.
Yeah.
For all you people who keep it real with us.
Yep. So we're bringing it back one time. So let's start with this. 35-year-old... Roger Federer wins Wimbledon this past weekend. I say that mainly as a more newsy topic because I don't have a whole bunch of stuff I want to jump into on that.
I mean, did I watch the game? No. Was I watching any of the Wimbledon games?
I believe they're all matches. Not
matches.
Games,
I apologize. I should have known that.
Calling it a game made it very obvious he did not tune in.
Did I watch one of the events where the two guys stood on opposing ends and tossed the ball back and forth? No. I saw highlights of it. But honestly, is Roger Federer, it's a name that even if you follow sports slightly, you're going to know. Even for just being a tennis superstar, he really has transcended. He's a mainstay figure. It's a reason why people actually pay attention. He got a lot of people paying attention to to Wimbledon.
Yep.
You know, like it's an event. I remember watching it on Sundays when I was growing up. Like it being the kind of it would be on. You know, like the final.
Yeah.
It was a big event.
Sure.
Remember seeing stars from Andre Agassi, American stars Serena Williams, Pete Sampras.
Yep.
And the name Roger Federer is one that has been there for years.
Yeah, he's 35 years old, 35, like I mentioned. Yeah. To put that in perspective, retired American superstar tennis player Andy Roddick, he is 34 years old.
And he has not been relevant for...
Right.
Yeah.
It's strange that Federer is seeing all this success so late in his career. Now, to be fair, I believe Serena Williams is 36, 35. I think she's 35 and Venus is 37. So that's just as, if not more impressive. But to the point, it's crazy that Federer is still hanging in there and is still dominant. Now, to be fair,
didn't Serena Williams win the Australian Open while being pregnant?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
Which is,
she's in
just
her
30s a super,
as well.
She's insane. Yeah. I mean, we could. I remember actually doing about 15, 20 minutes on the Australian Open because it was the last time I remember like scheduling my evening around a tennis event because I wanted to see it. It was also cool because it was starting at like midnight or something like that.
Yeah, it's good when it's on.
Yeah,
Australia,
so it was just kind of cool
script,
to see
yeah.
see her face her sister in the Australian Open final that late at night when it meant so much to both of them. So that was really cool. But back to Roger Federer. To be doing this at 35 when this tennis is a young man's game. Now, granted, to be fair, he did not face Andy Murray, who's number one in the world right now, Nadal or Djokovic. So he didn't face any of the, well, you know, the names we know.
I mean, again, that's not really his fault.
No, you of know, course not.
They didn't win where they're
supposed
to.
But it is part of the story,
yeah,
and I think I would be remiss to say... to celebrate this guy and his accomplishments without at least mentioning it. Now, does that mean he didn't actually win? Of course not. And in the annals of tennis, when we're looking back 50 years from now, no one will remember that he didn't face
those
guys.
Just know that he was a king of grass.
Yeah,
like he was.
Absolutely.
Wimbledon and him have become really like, that's his staple. That's mm-hmm. his mainstay. Granted, he's made his marks on other tennis open events.
Yep.
But Wimbledon and him, like those are like you know them together.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And so, you know, I just wanted to acknowledge it. Neither one of us are huge tennis experts. I enjoy playing the game. I will watch matches occasionally, but neither one of us could break anything down and do any sort of real analysis on this.
Clearly, I called it a game.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's part of a tennis match, though. Game, set, match, right?
No, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right. I believe he won in straight sets, too, which is...
Yes.
Which is pretty crazy. I don't know that he dropped a set in Wimbledon. I could be wrong about that. I have done zero research.
Again, that's what we do here.
Which is how we do
just,
it around here.
We throw it out
One
there.
Day we'll have a producer who fact checks live, but, you know... If you want to help that out and donate to our show, you could go to kzfr.org. There is a tip jar right next to the listen tab. Go ahead and click that tip jar. You could drop a couple shillings. And maybe one day we'll actually put on a professional show. In the meantime, you're stuck with these two amateurs who come in, watch a little bit of sports, and then have a lot of opinions. So,
hey, man, I think that's what makes for great television right there.
Yes.
Very little backing, but a lot of mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's how I get down. So. Oh. It's a good time. you want to move off this Roger Federer thing before we sound even more ignorant?
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
Where do you want to go from here? I got several topics.
I mean, I would say one thing we haven't talked about yet that we've been meaning to talk about for some time is a little boxing.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's Conor McGregor, Mayweather.
Okay. Let's do it.
I don't know if anyone's been paying attention to the news conferences. I'm sure people have seen highlights of them by now, or at least know it's happening, because it's kind of ridiculous what they've done. Like, boxing is now, I kind of feel like just complete sham now, but I love it at the same time. It's, like, terrible what it's happening, but at the same time, I'm like, I can't, I'm so happy that they're doing this. Because it really has just completely grasped the complete, like, eyes of the world right now. Of,
yeah.
Like, these two guys who are pretty much... let's face it, the two biggest probably jerks in their departments, you know?
Yep.
McGregor in MMA, and it's
yep.
like, you know, it's the biggest, you know, people going at it with each other. The biggest jerk-off, honestly.
It's going to be a spectacle to watch, that's for sure. Look, I don't think it's going to be that entertaining of a fight because Floyd Mayweather's in it. And Floyd Mayweather has never had, in my opinion, an aesthetically pleasing way of boxing. It's very technical. It's very patient. And he does a great job of just not getting hit. I would bet money that Conor McGregor doesn't get a clean hit in Floyd Mayweather's face the whole fight. But we can debate over that later. But I say all that to say this. I don't think the hype is going to pay off. But I do think the circus around it, this is just one of those things that is just an enormous event because it's so bizarre.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I'm not going to pay for the fight at all. I'm going to find some place that I can, you know, bring a sixer and get myself in. But I feel that it's the way Conor McGregor is, he's always like the best salesman at this point in time. The way that he is completely kind of made this staunch wall against Mayweather, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's so entertaining right there, that it's pretty much just, you know, a rock meets a hard place right now. And who's going to budge first? You know?
It's two guys who are very, very unlikable at face value.
Yes. Like, I would honestly, if possible, have, like, both of them knock each other out at the same time. Like, have that one, boom, boom, you know? And it's like, it's over. And I think that would be, it would be like, awesome.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't, like I said, neither guy is a very likable guy. McGregor has done, I think, has been brilliant. He has pretty much tripled his income with this one fight, and Mayweather has pretty much secured himself. Again, I feel like they're setting themselves up for another fight too. Like the way that they're going about it, the way I've heard Mayweather talking about some certain things, I feel like they're going to somehow make it a fight. Because it's boxing. You're always going to feel that some conspiracy, some rigging is going to happen in
right.
it, you know?
Right.
And what better than to have a huge fight where a lot of money is on the line and for the potential for having another fight where, another lot of money is on the line. Granted, if this fight is terrible, the next fight, it can't happen, you know?
Yeah.
This has to be a good fight.
I just don't see how that happens. I mean,
and that's what I say. Like, if they were actually fighting, yes. When you're like paid $300 million to, you know, play my fight, then I that's just, hey, we're just throwing out my opinions right there, and because I can see it happening.
Yeah, the only way this has any appeal really moving forward is if Mayweather takes a dive or actually gets knocked out or something of that nature, and I think Mayweather's perfect record means too much for him to take a dive. He really doesn't need the money, despite what you may have heard about him owing the IRS $30 million. He's about to make that up and then some in this fight.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
He should make somewhere between 170 and 200 plus million.
I've heard that at most he can, like, with pay-per-view and everything, it's close to 300.
That's just insane for one night.
For one night.
Oh, God.
But, I mean, he's again, Mayweather, again, he's a great a marketer as well. He has put himself out there as, like, I'm one of the biggest fights you're going to see. Whether it is or isn't, I present it that way, and you're going to pay me the money for it, whether it is or it isn't.
Well, he turned heel in 2008, and if you'll remember, he used to go by the name Pretty Boy Floyd. Pretty Boy Floyd. In 2008, he turned his name to Money Mayweather. And if you guys remember, 2008 is when we had the housing crash, and basically, we went into a recession, and a lot of people found themselves out of work, unemployed, houses getting foreclosed. And so what does Mayweather do? He figured out, and I think this is the genius that is Floyd Money Mayweather. And look, I'm using the term genius real loosely here.
There
is a business sense, and there is a business savvy, and he realized being Pretty Boy Floyd isn't getting me these marquee matchups.
No.
This is not putting my name on the marquee. I'm just a really good technical boxer, but no one really cares. No one, you know, people aren't buying my fights in that sort of way, and I'm great. I should be having my fights, you know, that my fights should close down the industry for the night. Everyone should be paying attention. And by turning heel like that and throwing the fact that he had money in your face and becoming a jerk, paid huge dividends for him. And you kind of have to have that in boxing. For instance, Tyson was a jerk. And people either wanted to witness the greatness or they wanted to see that greatness get put out. But Lennox Lewis, for example, is also a great boxer. No one cared because he just seemed like a decent guy, kind of boring, not very loud, a lot of bravado.
Again, other people that are huge, great boxers, the Klitschko brothers.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, they've them if they're boxers. Boxing, great boxers, but they're not out there as Mayweather has presented himself.
No.
Yeah, at all. No.
And basically, Mayweather's antics and Conor McGregor's mouth just got them paid. Because we're dumb, because as a society, collectively, when it comes to certain things like this, we're dumb, and we'll fall for the gimmick.
We're easily swayed.
Yeah, so this isn't a matchup of intrigue as far as two great boxers getting in the ring, obviously.
No, it's not. That's why I say, like, I feel it's the sport of boxing is a joke because of this right now, but I can't take my eyes off of it. Now, at the same time, just because of its entertainment and its complete utter absurdities behind it, I feel, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I cannot take it seriously. That's why I feel it's something else is behind it. Like, the showmanship that's in there is over the top.
It's professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And I personally, I say this all the time, I want more professional wrestling in my sports, because at the end of the day, for God's sakes, it's entertainment. Nothing that serious is happening in sports ever, because it's a game or a match. You know?
I mean, I think there is, you know, something to behold to, like, a pure competition if it was like that. But it's unfortunate you can't be like that, because money changes everything, you know? When you involve money into it, you lose that it's
there's a whole facade of professionalism that goes along with professional sports. And to a point, I understand it, but I think I think everyone would be better off if we let the athletes say what they wanted and didn't take it so serious every time and could have fun with it.
I think it's another thing, too, then. We need to stop putting athletes on these pedestals that we, like, they're honestly, like, superheroes to people and stuff. And just realize these guys are, you know, they should try to conduct themselves in a certain fashion that, you know.
Yeah. Well, now you're bringing up a whole new topic, and this is, we can go down the rabbit hole on this, and I don't want to, but the way we glorify not only our athletes, but celebrity in America general is just, it's an issue that's beyond a Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather fight. It's more of a result of that. But I do want to couple things here. A lot of people have been mentioning in the media some of the things that McGregor has been saying has been trafficking race. He said the Dance For Me Boy comment. He said something of the nature of something about dancing monkeys. And here's what I want to say about that. I'm wound up for one, I don't care whether McGregor is a racist or not. Like, I don't see what difference does it make. But boxing has always exploited race relations. Money Mayweather almost always fights on Cinco de Mayo. And almost always tries, if he can, to fight a Mexican guy on Cinco de Mayo. And was it the Oscar De La Hoya fight when he came out wearing a poncho and a sombrero? I mean, that's what boxing does. I mean, and it's okay. It's okay, everyone. It's okay. It's not. Look, this isn't Donald Trump debating Jesse Jackson or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't. This is sport. This is. They're trying to hype a fight. And if they can use a little bit of race relations behind it, okay.
I think, again, that's the same thing. Like, people just kind of need to cool their jets on their, you know, getting all offended by it. You know, and it realize. These guys, again, whether what they say, they shouldn't really have that type of power in their life on you. What their words don't really matter. Like, if you don't allow them to, sure, take them at the entertainment value right there, but realize the idiocracy behind it, you know? And if you do that, it's all right. There you go. It is Conor McGregor. Do I know he's racist? Maybe does a comment "Dance For Me, Boy" sound like a racist comment when you say it to a black guy? It has certain racist connotations. Does that make Conor McGregor a racist? That's hard to say based on one comment.
And who cares? I mean,
yeah,
who cares if he is?
That's his own problem. You know, that's his issues.
He's not the leader of the free world. He's not your governor. He's not your senator. He's not in a public office. So who cares really if he is? I mean, let's just say he's not. Okay. Let's say he is. Okay. Who cares?
It shouldn't have any physical effect on you. Maybe it might take you differently on the way you perceive the guy. Sure.
Sure. And maybe if you are a minority, or just if you're anyone and you find racism to be disgusting, this is a reason for you to maybe dislike Conor, and that's okay too. What they're trying to do is get people upset and get you hyped for the fight.
If we're talking about it now, like I said, that's
right.
They're winning right now. That's what they're getting. They're getting airtime on this show.
Right.
We found it.
And I would say over the, we've been doing this particular version of this show for over a year now, and boxing has probably taken up in the past year maybe 30 minutes of on-air time, and this alone is taking up half of that because there's actual real intrigue. There's levels to this thing. I said before the fight started I thought it was a bad idea because race relations in America right now, not exactly great. As bad as they've ever been, at least in my lifetime and many people I know's lifetime, is current modern day American race relations. However, I still think the fight's a bad idea because it's just, you know, it's trafficking in this stuff. And I actually have a buddy who's a black guy who is in Dublin, Ireland right now, and he's going to stay through the Conor McGregor fight. He's actually rooting for Conor McGregor as well. But I just told him, be careful, man, because it's not going to... I was like, you could drape yourself in an Irish flag, and it ain't going to matter if he gets knocked out or something like that, and you're in a bar full of Irishmen, full of his countrymen. Just be careful, my guy. And he's like, yeah, but I'll be rooting for him. I was like, yeah, but, you know...
I mean, I think there's a way to go about that. Am I going to say that every Irishman you read is racist? They have certainly experienced their own form of racism themselves.
But all I'm saying is you go to a booze-fueled bar where emotions are going to be running high. This is obviously a big event, and no matter how you want to slice it, it is a black guy versus a white guy. Yes, you know, you could say it's America versus Ireland and all these other things, but that's, you know, on this very surface level, it's a black guy facing a white guy, and tensions run high during these types of things. I've been out at bars during boxing matches where it's a black guy versus a white guy, or it's various races, whether the Nate Diaz, I remember hearing a story from my buddy who was Mexican and watching the Nate Diaz fight against McGregor and said things got contentious at the bar he was with. And it just happens. People get drunk. People say dumb stuff. You know, people get all wrapped up. And it's a blood sport, you know?
Yeah.
So it gets, you know, us knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing men to get all fired up and, you know...
No doubt. And I mean, especially, you know, you are saying you're looking at it like a black guy versus a white guy. I mean, that's one way. But sometimes I have to say, like, why do we always have to put so much emphasis on this color of the skin? I see it mainly as two douchebags versus each other. Like, that's really what I see it as. Like, the biggest douchebag in boxing versus the one in MMA. And let's combine the two together. And I think we, you know, that's something we need to always... kind of like, you know, take a little step on, I think, and view it as, and do we put too much emphasis on the skin color and what's happening between them?
We always
Or can we just say, hey, forget about it. Oh, who cares what color the skin is? Just like we said.
But
is he racist or not?
You can't do that.
You can't. It's impossible to, I know, but I mean, that's what I think we should try for.
It would be great to be able to separate racism out in life in general. It'd be great if none of us saw color and we all learned to look at each other as individuals, but that's never going to happen. So,
as humans, we are, you know, prone to define things in certain categories. And when you're growing up in a certain society or just in a world where, you know, black people and many natures have been put down, they've been kind of the low class citizens of a world, not just them, many minorities in our country, but, you know, in their countries with themselves that they've originated from. But they, you know, not the best off. And I mean, I think that's kind of the America that we have right now.
Yeah.
Yes, we have our dark past. I mean, like every other country that's out there for the most part. Like, you know, everyone has, for someone to come to power, someone came out.
Right.
And ours is just much more recent than many of the other bigger superpowers that are out there.
Right.
And so we kind of, you know, link on that fact very often when I'm kind of rambling right now a little
bit.
No
worries. Yeah. I'll come in and save
thank
you.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, just one kind of final thing on the race thing. I don't think that that's all that this fight is. I'm not saying that in general it's just black versus white. That would be idiotic of me to say that that's the only reason that this fight would have appeal, because we've had, you know, many, 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 many situations where that's been the case. What I'm trying to say is I think that this brings out the worst in us with these type of fights. A lot of ignorant stuff will be said out at bars and in public spaces. And just, you know, be wary of that. I think it's kind of dumb, but I also, it is what it is. I also just think that at the end of the day, this fight is kind of going to be a joke, and it gives us something to talk about. But I realized the other day when Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather were going back and forth, Mayweather can't, he's not a talker. He's just not. He's not good at it.
He's not really. No.
No.
He doesn't. He's not quick-witted, and his jabs that he comes back with are subpar.
Yeah, it's basically I have more money than you.
Yeah, and it's weak.
Yeah.
And I think
clever.
I think if he were smart about it, he needs to do something where he just needs to either be just completely silent and just take it, and then just go into the wing and beat people up, which he's done. If he continually had that and just never said anything, like that was his shtick, like I just don't say anything to anybody. Like you can insult me all you want, but if we're going to the ring, I'm still going to beat you.
But he would also not be...
Granted, that marketing scheme, it would you know, definitely pay different
dividends.
It
works really well for him to be the guy that everyone roots against. It has... I don't know how much money he's made in his boxing career, but I can't honestly remember the last time he had a payday of less than $100 million per fight. So
yeah, I was gonna say
it's
working really well for him.
And
but this time McGregor actually is very good at trash talking.
No,
like McGregor is probably top five. He's top five.
Oh, he's great at it.
Yeah, he's great at it. His straight bravado that he has, the confidence that he builds behind it, like he makes you believe that he could actually win this fight. Like he really has, I think a lot of people bet on him because I'm sure there's a lot of money on him. I don't know what the odds are on it, what Vegas has it as, because it'd be interesting to see. Because I wonder how much money, obviously, it's going to change the more money that gets put on McGregor, it might change it. But you feel like there's a lot of people out there like, oh. Dude, this guy, the way that he's talking, I would just love to see him just knock out Mayweather, because you want to see Mayweather's untarnished record get that one on the other side, you know? And McGregor is talking like he can do that. And he's a guy that has no boxing experience whatsoever. And the confidence he does it with is it's awesome. It's brilliant. And, I mean, he does it in such a professional fashion. Like, he's sparked people's interest back in boxing again.
Yeah, completely agreed. I'm trying to find...
Haven't found that line yet.
I'm trying to find the most up-to-date odds. We'll come back to this.
Yeah.
But, so it opened at minus 2250 for Mayweather.
Wow.
It's back at minus 950 for Mayweather. So basically,
you said it was 2250 before.
2250.
So
okay. for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, to win $100 on Money Mayweather, it opened at, you would have to drop $2,250 to win that 100 back. Now it's dropped down to 950, but still terrible odds and no reason to really bet on Mayweather unless you're just loaded.
Yeah, I mean, that's maybe what they're trying to stick up.
Well, yeah, they make those... Vegas has set those odds so the money could come in on McGregor, because who's not going to... If you have some money to blow and you want to make the fight a little more interesting, why wouldn't you drop $100 to win $2,250?
Yeah, no
you
doubt.
Know, I mean, if you have the extra income and $100 isn't really going to hurt your bottom line, why wouldn't you throw it down? And that's where Vegas is thinking is on that stuff. So I really wish we had Noobs here to kind of break this down further, because he is our gambling expert. But sometime soon, we'll get Noobs back in here.
We're searching for him right now.
Yeah, we may have to go up to Concal, just track him down.
We're going to have to get the search dogs out.
Yeah. So again, if you want to tip the show, we could go into a fund
to get Noobs back on,
where we
the
track
show.
Down Noobs.
Yeah, track down Noobs.
Anyone out there that's seen him?
Please, yeah, dude.
I'm about to put him on a milk carton.
I feel really bad because I saw him many weeks ago passing the street, and I said hi, but I didn't actually get a chance to really talk to him. I was, we were both in passing.
Should have tackled him
now,
right there.
Now that I realized how long it's been since I've seen him or we've heard from him,
yeah.
I should have just
Tackled him, locked him up in your closet, right, said you're doing talking about practice every Monday
week,
at 5:30. That's how we're going.
Especially for days like these when we need advice on boxing or betting in general.
Or just need some expertise on anything. Get some good conspiracies. I miss that guy, man.
And he would probably be on the conspiracy train with me, I feel.
100%. And I would like if that would happen. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are listener supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KCFR supporters and by Harrison Daily Wright Accountancy Corporation in Chico. Harrison Daily Wright provides certified public accountants specializing in accounting and bookkeeping services, auditing, tax preparation, and planning, management support services for nonprofit organizations, and more. To reach Harrison Daily Wright, you can call 895-1209. That's 895-1209. So once again, thanks to all of our underwriters, all of our listeners that help keep the lights on around here. It's really important. We are community radio. We are your local community radio station. And so we try to do our best to reflect the voice of the community.
Yes.
In our own special way.
Eloquently put.
Was it?
In your own special way.
All right, you got some news for us?
I do got a little news for us, yes.
All righty.
Let's get into it, shall we? We all know the guy, the process, Joel Embiid. Just recently came out, said his 86 rating on 2K is not good enough for him. He thinks he deserves 95 at least. It should be at least 95, he says. That's bullcrap. I'm not going to curse. I just got fined. Well, good on you, Joel Embiid, because those 31 games you put out there for 2K to judge you on have been nothing but spectacular and assuredly deserve at that 95 rating. 95 rating on 2K. And be like the create a player type person. Shut up, Joel Embiid. You got 86, man. That's good. I would take you. Your mic's off right now, so I would turn that back on.
Yeah, yep, there we go. My bad.
Yeah, what was that?
No, I was just saying, I don't think that your player rating should be higher than the amount of games you've played.
So you think you should be 31 then?
Yeah.
31 games? I know. I that's why I don't get it. Like, God, you put 31 games for them to pick you up at. Sure, you played nice in those 31 games, but again, you've only played 31 games, man. That's not even a full season. So will they take you as a little rookie? That's what they take you as. All right, you're a highly rated rook. Take it, Joel Embiid. That was entertaining, as always. Paul Pierce made it official. He retired as a Celtic. I couldn't imagine ending my career at any other place, he says. I'm a Celtic for life. Except for that time spent in L.A. with the Clippers.
And Washington.
And Washington.
And Brooklyn.
And Brooklyn. Thank you. I knew there was more, and I knew you'd come in clutch right there. So, yes, you are a Celtic for life, other than those other four stops you're at.
They don't love you like that. That was my favorite trash talk of, was it last season? Last season was his last season.
Yes.
And Draymond Green said to him on the sideline, while he was sitting on the sidelines, you out here expecting that Kobe farewell tour. They don't love you like that.
Yeah, man, you played over in the Celtics, man. Not to mention, yes, that was great. However, Paul Pierce does have to his credit. Con game on a 3-point shot.
Yeah, that was cool.
In the playoffs. So, hey, you are the truth. The truth was, buddy, you are not a Celtic for life. A little sad news right now. Actor Martin Landau, he's a classic in the industry. Many of them probably knew him as Ed Wood. He was in the Mission Impossible series. Also played a pretty entertaining role in the Entourage for one season. Or is it a couple seasons? I can't remember. Still, an extended stay on Entourage. Martin Landau died at 89. Sad passing for the film industry.
Yeah.
That's just something to fill it with, you know? Because I gotta talk on this a little bit. Because my boy R. Kelly.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if you saw this article
My God.
It's apparently R. Kelly has a lot of things trapped in his closet.
Oh, my God.
Bro, R. Kelly is denying the allegations that he did, in fact, have forced sexual slaves on his premise. These allegations were published by BuzzFeed that came from the parents of several women alleged to be under Kelly's sway.
Do you have any of the quotes up in front of you? Because it's amazing, and I don't want to misquote it. Do you have the story?
I am looking at the story right now.
Okay. If you could grab a quote, great. If not, I'll paraphrase some of what I gathered from the story without actually quoting it. Basically, some of the women, some of his backup singers and the like, he allegedly, again.
Yes, he's allegedly. Again, allegations have come out. It says he is holding several women over the age of consent as sex slaves.
Some of the details are really just so creepy, where they have cell phones that have one number in it and they can only call him. They have to ask him if they want to get up and eat, if they want to, if they can use the restroom. A former personal assistant of his came out and confirmed these allegations. And again, I don't want to go too far without actually reading word for word, but I definitely encourage you, if you're interested, to check out the story. It's so creepy and just adds to the creepiness that is R. Kelly. And there's so much creepiness about that guy.
Oh, yeah.
So much. He married Aaliyah when she was 15 years old. And I believe he was in his late 20s at the time.
Yeah.
She was 15.
He's definitely got some issues.
And then there was that one video.
Yes.
That he was acquitted for, but
we all know that, you know? It's been,
God. Is that your last piece of news?
That was my last piece of news, right? What a great way to end it right there. A little R. Kelly. Actually, that's the thing. Because I'm just saying, if you have never seen Traps in the Closet by R. Kelly, it's a little slice of heaven, I feel. But it's unfortunate to know that the guy behind this has these allegations on him, because it makes it really creepy right now. Granted, he has a creepy past, and this almost like doubles it.
I think next, if we want to continue this,
we need to look into it, no doubt. Yeah. The article I read it as didn't have as much detail as you were going into. It really was kind of more of a gloss and over.
Okay.
We definitely need to dive into it more, because it's unfortunate to hear this.
It's disgusting, what it is. All right, so let's move off of R. Kelly, please. And all right, so here's a couple topics. You tell me which one you would want to start with.
Okay.
LeBron is once again sending flirtatious messages to the city of Miami. And so there's some stuff going on with Miami Heat, D. Wade, and Dion Waiters kind of having a little flirtatious relationship on Instagram or on Twitter.
Okay.
Summer League is actually fun this year.
Okay. All right.
Ezekiel Elliott gets into another incident. And then it's Niners, Giants, Calvin Johnson.
Obviously, got to go on the chance of the Lakers winning another championship in the Summer League.
Yeah.
Bum,
bum, bum, bum, bum.
No doubt. Like you said, the Summer League has been watchable. You know, you're actually kind of, it's like, okay, you're getting entertaining things out of it. Obviously, as a Laker fan, I've paid attention to what Lonzo Ball has done. Mm-hmm. It's impressive, but again, it is just Summer League play, and he's playing against pretty much his peers.
Yep.
Guys who is just recently playing against. It will be interesting to see how that translates, of course.
Sure.
And it's, obviously has a little injury right there. But not just him. Dennis Smith Jr.
Yeah, he's killing it.
From the Mavs, correct?
Yes, he looks great.
He is...
He reminds me of a Steve Francis, Baron Davis type point guard with that explosiveness.
Oh man, yeah, with his ups, man, he's got. Yeah. Oh man.
And
he's
so I'm really looking forward to watching his career. Those are some of my favorite players, are explosive point guards, because I used to fashion myself as one. So, but I've always, Baron Davis was one of my favorite players of all time. Same with Steve Francis. I just love the way they could get to the hoop. They kill you outside, they cross you over. The franchise could get up and bang on you. Baron Davis, I mean, he had that.
I mean, you got to love Russell Westbrook. He's not similar style right now.
Similar style, yeah. A little taller than those guys, but just an absolute, this guy looks like he's the truth. And we have a lot of rookies just to be excited about. And a lot of these fringe guys, these undrafted guys, have kind of stepped up in Summer League. And I got to be honest, this is the first time in a while that Summer League actually has had that type of intrigue for me personally. I found myself in a bar in San Diego watching the Lakers game instead of hanging out with my friends. I was just kind of drifted off for a little while and was watching the game. And I was like, wait a second, this is Summer League.
And they're actually hooping well.
Yeah.
I mean, the
quality has actually been pretty decent. And it's just, it's more laxed and just more fun.
They're playing ball, it feels like. You know, they're just like, hey, man, this is summertime. We're just shooting hoops. And
they're not running sets every play. You know, they'll run a few here and there, but.
I mean, they're getting a feel for, you know, what it's like going to be playing a little bit, get their feet wet, practice up, shake off some of that rust from being in college and playing against, like this, again, this is more of the cream of the crop from college, you know, of course. So now it's, you know, getting ready for when the season actually starts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's exciting. It really is. Especially if you're a hoop head, you're stoked. Like I said, just based on the sheer number of talent that's out there, Jason Tatum has had moments of brilliance.
Yes.
De'Aaron Fox has looked great out there with his quickness that he can go from end to end.
Yep.
And that's just something that, whether, you know, that's something you can actually do in a game. Like, that's not something you can, like, just because it's summer league, he can do that. Like, granted, right, the lanes open up, but he's got that quickness.
That's,
you know,
what you're looking for, is just what these guys' strengths and weaknesses are. Does this guy play a lick of defense? Can he shoot? Those types of things. Those things that are tangible. You can see them. You know, obviously you don't know, does this guy know how to win yet? Well, who knows? You know, will this guy be coachable? Will this guy be that? Well, you know, will his past create problems for his future? You never know.
I mean, one thing I will say, a lot about the guys that are coming up, a lot of these young stars right now, a lot of them seem like they got good heads on their shoulders. You know?
Yeah.
They got, like, Lonzo Ball, he's on the grade after every game. He's coming up, and he looks like the complete antithesis of what his dad is, you know, and which has been great for him. He's playing well, you know, and that's awesome. If he keeps that up, you know, that's exactly what you need to do. And hopefully, he just disguises limits for the kid. I want the best for him. Obviously, being a Laker fan, it means success for the Laker franchise. But also, the kid looks like he just can play ball really well, you know. And then you get that with De'Aaron Fox as well. Another good kid, you know. No one out there is like, it seems like they got, like, you know, problems or anything, you know?
Yeah, I mean, so far, it's been really impressive to see what these young men are doing. One little side note that's been kind of funny or fun to watch has been Lonzo Ball. Obviously, we talked about it on this show. The big baller brand, he dropped a shoe that cost $498 retail.
Was it $95?
Maybe it was $495, yeah. I think you're right.
You get the facts here right. Talking about practice
occasionally, but so that was a big kind of, that was a big story earlier in the year. And so in the past several games, he's worn Nikes, he's worn Adidas, Steph Curry sent him a pair of Under Armour, and
because he's to sign with any shoe right now, he is still technically a free agent in the shoe world,
right? And so LeVar was asked about it, and his response was, and I quote, "It's making a statement to the brands of what they could have had with an open mind." He goes on to say, "The players are the brand ambassadors. The brand is nothing without the players." And he has a point there.
Very true.
I mean, the brand is nothing without the players. Nike wasn't Nike without Michael Jordan.
I mean, it's a subset of Nike. He has his own, like, Nike division, essentially.
Yeah, that's the Jordan brand.
That's what he did, the Jordan brand. It's Nike, but it's the Jordans.
Right.
I don't have Nikes, and I got Jordans on.
Right.
Now, and that's like a, you know, that's a staple. I did not play hoops that long. I played a couple years in summertime when I was young. But for me, I never really got into that, the shoe hype per se.
Sure.
I was afforded a pair of the best shoe I could afford. I got was the Garnets.
Nice.
Those, you know, those blue ones and the black, yep, little zip up, yeah. Got those, felt dope with them, hated them because they did not fit me very well. So I was so disappointed, but I forced my way through them because I was like, dude, I made my mom pay like $50 to get these shoes. I better wear them right now, you know.
Yeah, and let me save everyone out there some time. If you have wide feet and you think the KDs look cool, Kevin Durant's shoe is not made for you. I tried it on this past week, and that thing is so freaking narrow and uncomfortable. They look cool, but
that's my problem too. Like I said, I got wide feet.
Yeah,
Nikes are not usually my preference of shoe as a runner. When I ran, I never wore Nikes. I had maybe one pair of Nikes I ran in.
But the reason I brought that up is because the one concern I would have is if I'm an executive at the Lakers, if I'm Magic Johnson or even Luke Walton for that matter, at least all the stars, anyone with a signature shoe, that shoe, like Kevin Durant's shoe, is built specifically for that player, for the way that player's foot is built.
Yes.
And basketball players in particular have terrible feet because you have to wear your shoes very tight and you're cutting on a hard surface. There's no give like there would be if you're playing soccer, football, or even baseball for that matter. There's no give because it's not grass. So you're cutting, you're doing all these things, and your feet just take an absolute beating if you're a professional basketball player. And these shoes over the years have become more and more important to these guys. And I don't know that the Big Baller brand had the resources. I mean, Nike, for example, I've seen what they do with these players' feet. We when I worked at Foot Locker, we had one of their corporate guys come down and kind of explain the process of building the shoes for a particular player. And it's super high tech. I mean, from strapping sensors to every part of their feet as they run and cut and do, their what they would be doing, emulating what they would do on the actual court. So, I would be concerned about that with the Big Baller brand shoe. But I thought that was kind of interesting and at least worth bringing up for a moment.
No doubt. I mean, I think people think that any shoe on the rack is like a good enough shoe for them if they're doing like some serious sports. And it's like, it's kind of unfortunate it's not. You have to find
the right brand.
You have to have the right shoe, the right brand, yeah. the right fit.
Yes.
You know?
It really does make a huge difference.
When, like I said, basketball, same with running. You're on your feet. Your shoe is your lifeline to how you get around, you know? And you got to really pay attention to that. And if you have the wrong one, you're going to be hurting. I used to wear the wrong shoes at times, and I know how bad it was, especially when you take the sport seriously.
Yeah.
If you're an occasional person who goes out every once in a while, you probably can get away with it.
But even then,
you probably find a good shoe.
Take the time to find a good shoe.
At least find a good brand that you like.
Yeah, and don't worry just about how they look. Like, make sure you have a comfortable, if you're using it for any sort of performance. You know?
Yes, if you actually want to perform in there, you have to. You really do. Like, there's got to be some seriousness taken into it, or else you're going to hurt yourself. And, like, it's very true. You need to have the resources to be able to do that, and you wonder where he got them, or how exactly it's going. But, I'm kind of happy he's not forcing his, not forcing it down his son's throat. He's out there just kind of playing around with what he wants, finding what works best for him. And, like I said, there are people out there saying, oh, well, does the shoe really matter? Yeah, it matters, y'all. It does.
It does matter.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on. This summer has been an exciting offseason in the NBA. Obviously, a lot of moves. Jimmy Butler in particular, Gordon Hayward, Chris Paul, Paul George. But next summer, y'all. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but let's face it. The NBA transaction has become, as far as talking points, more interesting than the regular season. At least to me, it has. And next summer, we have LeBron will be a free agent, Chris Paul will be a free agent, John Wall will be a free agent, DeMarcus Cousins will be a free agent, Dwayne Wade will be a free agent, and I'm just doing this off the top of my head. So you have a lot of guys, a lot of big-name guys that are going to be looking for, are going to have the potential to be going to a new home. Now, this past weekend, LeBron was in Miami, and he sent out a couple Instagram posts. Basically, there was one picture of the American Airlines Center where the Miami Heat played and said, all the great memories, thank you. Then there is another picture, once again, thanking the people of Miami and just kind of reminiscing about all the good times he had. Dion Waiters has been openly recruiting Dwayne Wade back to Miami, and they had kind of a funny exchange on Twitter going back and forth. And so my first question on the 2018 NBA free agency, because look, we're done with the big names moving pretty much for this offseason.
Yeah, there's nowhere really.
Yeah,
that's,
and we need to fill some time here.
Yeah,
so
we do.
Let me just ask you this.
Okay.
And take, if you can, try and separate your Laker fandom, but
no
I know
doubt.
That's really hard.
No doubt. Yeah.
Where would you like to see LeBron end up next year?
The Lakers. But no, I mean, in all seriousness, do you think we'd have a chance of getting him? Obviously, they're clearing cap space and they have the money to do so.
Yeah.
Well, does that money, again, and I mentioned last week, I feel it's, to judge some guy player on the much money he makes is asinine. So I'm not going to do that. As like, in terms of what he could do to a team and like how that team could perform as it sits right now. That's really a tough one, honestly.
Yeah.
Again, trying to separate my Laker fandom, but still, the Lakers have a lot of interesting young pieces. Again, they're young. This fusion can kind of make something of it. He might have a chance. Lonzo Ball is still a few years away from actually being really relevant, I feel.
Yeah,
well, or at least, I mean, it takes guys time. Yeah. There are very few people who come onto the scene right away and have the impact that for a championship-winning team, you know?
Yeah.
It takes time to groove on that. Granted, the Lakers are in a kind of desperation mode. They're thrusting this guy into the huge role. A cool spot, if somehow, some way they could do it, Oklahoma City.
That ain't happening.
I know it's not going to happen, but you just said, I'm just throwing out my whims and my wares now. Interesting team. That would be interesting seeing him with Russell. Their styles of play might completely contradict, but I don't know. Just seeing two explosive players together like them. You never know what the magic they can create. We all thought, how would, Miami Heat go when you have Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh going?
Yeah.
And look what they did. They created some pretty interesting magic out there. I mean, those passes from Dwayne Wade to LeBron James.
And vice versa.
Vice versa. Cross court were legendary. And imagine that happening between LeBron James and Russell Westbrook.
That would be cool. There's no way that's going to happen. I don't see any chance. If LeBron's family's complaining about going home to Cleveland, what do you think they're going to say about OKC? That ain't happening. A couple weeks ago, I would have told you that I would have put all my money, I would have been all in on LeBron going to LA because beyond the on-the-court stuff, the media connections, he's made it real obvious that with his company, Uninterrupted, which is a media company, that's the direction he's trending. He was in that movie Trainwreck, and he wants to be an actor and so on and so forth. So I would have been convinced of that. The more I think about that, yes, I think he does it if they can get DeMarcus Cousins and they can get John Wall.
They need somebody. They cannot have this nucleus and expect to have LeBron James. They need to add an actual player.
If it's
player.
DeMarcus Cousins, Paul George, John Wall, then I see him going there. And even then,
they can't do that, though. They have the money to be able to do it.
They do.
The cap space that they've cleared up this time, they're setting themselves up for it.
Well, and they have assets that they could dump. You know, they do have these younger guys. And if the Lakers just go to an all-out, let's win now mode, they have Brandon Ingram. They have Lonzo Ball. They have other guys.
Julius Randle.
Julius Randle, that's
Larry
right.
Larry Nance Jr.
Yeah, I don't know how much he would be really desirable.
Granted, he's probably one of my favorite players on that team.
But he's on a rookie contract. Do they still have Jordan Clarkson, too?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, so they have a lot of young talent that they can mix and match and do signing trades and so on and so forth. So I do think they're still in the running. But again, you're going to be leaving the East where if you're LeBron, you can walk into the finals just about every year. He has for, what, 8 straight seasons now. So
yeah.
I would see him staying in the East. If he wants to, if it's all about winning, his chances of being in the finals are going to be much greater. And I would rather take my shot of knowing I'll be in the finals and then see what we do against the Warriors than knowing I have to go up against the Warriors in, maybe the second round or the Western Conference Championship,
To them, that might be kind of enticing where it's not as much pressure of the finals with that team. It's just like, hey, we're a better team than them. We don't really have the pressure of the finals bearing on us right now. You never know. And then to go into the finals is a cakewalk for them, whatever team in the East they come across.
Yeah.
So you can look at it that way. But no doubt, the city that he's coming to, especially now, he's coming to the end of his career.
Yep.
You know, no matter what, he's hit a plateau and he's either going down.
Yeah.
He's not going up at this point in terms of like what he can do. I think he's going to stay at maybe a steady pace, slightly declining, if anything. But he wants to get to the point where he's going to settle down. And I think he has that media company. And when you want to be in media, you kind of want to be in LA. It's kind of the spot to be.
Yeah, it makes the most sense.
It kind of is the spot to be. No other city in this country has the connections, nor does it have the resources that LA does. I'm sure Miami is great. The weather is fantastic. A lot of beautiful things out there.
Yep.
But that's, is he going to be serious about having a good time or do you want to make some money?
I would like to see him back in Miami. If they could put the right group of players around him, I really enjoyed it the last run when he was there. I liked them being the villains. I thought that was a lot of fun. It would be fun if they kind of got the band back together with Dwayne Wade coming off the bench and put some other parts around him.
So you can't do it with just Dion Waiters and Dwayne Wade.
No, of course not. They would need a DeMarcus Cousins, a John Wall, one of those guys.
And again, you got Pat Riley there who runs a tremendous helm.
Yeah, I mean, he's done, you know, it's obvious that, you know, once these guys leave Miami, they kind of yearn to go back because that franchise is run to a T and by all accounts just so like a well-oiled machine.
I mean, again, it's coming from Pat Riley, who learned from the best.
Right, so I think
Jerry Buss, shouts to Doctor.
R.I.P. So I would like to see him back in Miami. I'm very excited for next year's offseason because this is going to be a lot of fun. The rumors that are going to be flying around, the deals that are going to go down, it's just going to be a lot of fun. So I look forward to that. So
this completely plays into LeBron's hand. He loves this like tantalizing type stuff, you know.
He's good at it.
He started out. I mean, the decision was a nice start.
Yeah.
To this tantalizing tale.
It's
that
what
is LeBron James.
Began all of this. It's began the transaction season, where the transaction is now bigger than.
I'm just asking. Did you watch that?
What?
The decision?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. As did I. I already do remember. Actually, was able to because I had just had surgery on my hip, and I was. Actually, I had time off work. It was great.
Yeah, no, I remember watching that, and I wanted him to go to Miami that time. So
it's interesting how, like I said, he did start a revolution, and it's kind of sad. A part of me, like, it hurts to say that we find more interest in the off season than we do in the in the actual season.
But again,
it's a different type of joy. It's a different type of excitement.
It's hope. It's hope trafficking. It's just like the NBA or any draft for that matter, where all of a sudden you get excited about all these guys that you have no idea how they're going to play as a pro, but you get excited.
I would
and
say
everyone
like
has a chance.
The preseason, the off season is like juice. The season's like sauce. You know,
and sauce is forever, man.
Sauce lasts, man.
So real quick, the Niners may be interested in Kirk Cousins again, or they may not. Can we just end this, please? For the love of God. What you doing to us Niners fans, man, it's criminal. It is just criminal. If we pick up Kirk Cousins, I'm done. I'm folding the tent. I am putting all my Niners gear away for some time, and I'm just going to watch football objectively.
Hey man, you should come to the Panthers, man.
No. I'm not going to root for the Niners, I'm not going to have a favorite team. I'm just going to watch and enjoy watching the games.
I will say, I don't know, I'm kind of interrupting you here, but the Panthers had fired their GM, Dave Gettleman, and ex-Panthers roasted the hell out of it.
Oh.
D'Angelo Williams came out and said, the Panthers are no longer on my do not move list because they got rid of that slimy piece of S, Dave Gettleman.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice. I don't know if it was slimy piece of S, but he rips him. I gotta find this right now.
I'm sure Josh Norman had something to say.
Yes, Josh Norman didn't. He just had emojis. Which I didn't quite interpret that well because I'm not a great emoji interpreter. It's not one of my fortes. It's like not there at all. But it is. It was entertaining to see. Sorry, I totally just took your limelight right there. But the Panthers, they're open now because Steve Smith came out and said, now you know what it's like.
Yeah.
Because he got iced by Dave Gettleman himself.
Yeah, I thought Gettleman did a great job of burning bridges.
Oh, man. I mean, that's what I'm kind of happy
is. Before he should have. Josh Norman should still be a Panther.
D'Angelo Williams should stay.
Steve Smith, all-time leading receiver, all-time leading running back.
You're talking to the guy who's been on the Panthers fan since before they went to that 03 Super Bowl. I was like, since 97 is what I say. And Steve Smith was the... He's the best, and you
got
rid of him.
Favorite player of all time.
You got rid of him. He was the Sorry. So goodbye, Dave Gettleman. Jump to the
In other news,
Gettleman.
Calvin Johnson comes out, rips the Lions organization. Basically says that because he felt the team was going nowhere. And I'm paraphrasing right now because I'm not going to look up the quote because we only have 2 minutes left in the show. But he said basically that the franchise was going nowhere, and he was tired of risking his body. For a franchise that wasn't doing everything in its power to get better. And so the Lions reacted by inviting him to training camp.
That's the only way you do it.
So I thought that was funny. No comment as to whether he's even considering it yet. I would doubt it. I think this will be his second year out of the league?
Yes.
I would doubt it, but, you know, you never know. The competitive nature in these players sometimes comes back.
I mean, all of them do something afterwards that keeps them somehow entertained competitively, and many of them long to come back.
Yeah.
You hear it.
And then The San Francisco Giants, who I just saw in person at Petco Park on Saturday, and what was a fun, entertaining game until Hector Sanchez, former Giant, stepped up and crushed a bomb that landed right above us. The Giants might be interested in Pablo Sandoval again. And my question is, why?
They can sell more panda gear.
I guess. I mean, I guess this year you might as well just start trying to, you know, pull out some gimmicks because the season's over for the Giants. I think that's pretty obvious.
I don't have much sympathy, of course, as you would expect.
Hey, Petco Park, though, awesome, awesome venue right in the heart of downtown. It's just, it's great. And
the
I
beach
love
is
that,
right there. Dude, you can, yeah.
I
gorgeous.
Love that Western Metal Supply, that old building, was built into the park.
Oh, yeah.
And super cool.
I mean, you can stone's throw away from the Gaslamp District, which
you're
is...
You're right there.
You're right there. And
you're
you get,
right there. I mean, we walked from my buddy's house, which was maybe a 2.5-minute walk.
That's dope.
It was excellent.
That's dope. That's some living right there.
Yeah, it was a good time. So I just wanted to mention that the Giants may be interested in Pablo Sandoval. Pablo Sandoval has already expressed interest in coming back to the Giants. Maybe the food's just better in San Francisco. I don't know, but that's happening.
And, he's not a fan of lobster rolls.
Ezekiel Elliott got into some trouble, but and may get suspended, but all of